Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. It is that time yet again. It seems like just yesterday we were doing this show. Here it is a week later. Okay, so it's episode number 159. I am your host, Beam Weeks, and this is the Voice of Indie podcast. And with me over there in the corner is Mr. Stephen Gies. How you doing over there in the corner, Stephen?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm not doing too bad at all. It's just been a kind of a cool day up here and nice in a cool way, you know, not cold, but just a nice, cool late summer day. And yeah, having fun.
So we've got some books to talk about. We've got a new release, came out this week in pre-sale, and it's only in pre-sale for 2 weeks. So it'll be out here before you know it. I Won't Be Your Scapegoat by David Carroll. He's the NBC newscaster that we published his book, Hello Chattanooga, and we published his book, Volunteer Bama Dog. Now he's got I Won't Be Your Scapegoat, and it's a look at social media blunders, things that people put on social media and spelled wrong or said the wrong thing or whatever. And they are quite hilarious. So get over there and order your pre-sale copy now. The book will be released August 25th. I got one caveat for you. Just about anywhere you look, you're going to find that book. But if you go to Amazon, right now all you can see is the Kindle. You cannot see either print edition. We have no explanation for that. Lately, our Amazon problem has been that they'll put the editions on there and not show the cover. This one, they didn't even put the editions on there. So we're going to have to deal with that tomorrow and see if we can get this thing rebroadcast. We hate to do that because then it disrupts all the other retailers, and sometimes it creates new problems. But at any rate, so if you want a print edition of that book and you want to order it now, Barnes & Noble. We like Barnes & Noble. They get things right over there.
Yes, indeed. Speaking of pre-sale, The Dayang by M.C. Howard. That is book one of the Dayang series is in pre-sale for August 28th. This is a novel, and I believe it's all those editions are showing over there on Amazon. So get over there and save your copy, pre-sale. And if you want to take part in today's episode, oh, before we do that, I want to say wish a very happy birthday to Mr. Verwayne Greenhoe. He is celebrating, I think it's his 25th birthday today. We'll leave it there. Happy birthday, Verwayne, and I hope you have many more to come. So if you want to be a part of this show tonight, you want to call in, you got a question or a comment for tonight's guest, there are a couple of ways you can do that, and here's how.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest, or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
So, to clarify, The Dayang, book one of the Dayang trilogy, all editions are on Amazon, but you cannot see the hardcover. Good old Amazon.
Another one of those, huh? Well, there's that with Prison My Paradise. It's the same way. The hardcover is not showing up, and we reached out to the people at LSI to do the rebroadcast, and it's showing up on Barnes & Noble, but it's still not showing up on Amazon, so...
Okay, and that was the next book I was going to talk about, but to clarify that, the title is Paradise My Prison, not Prison My Paradise.
Oh.
It's Paradise My Prison by George Dismukes, and if you go to Amazon, you can do the Vella version of it right now, where you can read three chapters for free, and then if you're a first-time Vella user, they'll give you some credits so that you can read most of the rest of the book for free, or you can go ahead and place your order for the print or Kindle editions. Of course, if you go to Barnes & Noble, it's a Nook edition. You go to Rakuten, it's a Kobo edition. All the ebooks are different. But that book's going to be released August 18th. We're 2 days away from the big release. So get in there and get your pre-orders in now for Paradise My Prison by George Dismukes.
All right. Another book, The Gift by Gwen M. Plano. This is book two in the Harbor Point series. This is a cool series of eight books by the eight female members of Story Empire, and they've all got together and they're writing these they're standalone stories, but they all tie into this Harbor Point. So get over there and check that out on Amazon. Each of them have different release dates, but you can pre-order them now. As a matter of fact, I pre-ordered all eight of them. And while you're at it, go over and check out storyempire.com. It's a great place to, if you're a writer, you want writing tips, or if you're a reader and you're just looking for maybe to be pointed in the right direction for some really good authors to discover, storyempire.com, that's the place to be. We have a lot of cool authors here at Fresh Ink Group and a lot of interesting things coming up. So if you want to be involved in this, you want to be in the know, we have a newsletter, and here's how you can subscribe to that if you're not subscribed to it.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What? All right. Coming soon, speaking of the newsletter and getting the announcements of new releases coming up, we've got Mermaid Cove by M.C. Howard. She's the one who wrote the book The Dying. She's also a talented, skillful artist. And Mermaid Cove is a book, it's kind of like a coffee table book. It's got paintings of mermaids in it that she has done herself. So keep an ear out for that. Get that newsletter. You'll know exactly when it's coming. Celebrate 98. This is a look at the 1998 Tennessee Volunteers National Championship football team. This is by Dave Hooker of Off the Hook Sports. And this is kind of a celebration of the 25th anniversary, and it's got photos in it and kind of a look at where they are now, some of these players. And so that'll be coming out soon. And Village Boss. Village Boss is a novel by Ronan Duval. I think that's how he's pronounced. He spells it that way. I don't know if that's how he's pronouncing it. So Ronan or Ronenin. I'm guessing it's Ronenin. A little different. Duval. And this is a novel. I'm currently just wrapping up the editing on it. I still have a few chapters to go, but it's a nice story. It's a thriller, and it's kind of one of these global thrillers. There's a lot going on, and it's got cartels and CIA and just a lot of really cool stuff. So keep an eye out for Village Boss.
All right. So let's take a quick look at the top 25 Fresh Ink Group print bestsellers this week, starting at 25 and working our way up. How to Teach Driving, the Instructor's Edition by Kenneth Lindquist. Above that, How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Florida by A.K. Wingler. She's got two other food truck books, Georgia and Tennessee as well. Next above that, Hello Chattanooga, Famous People Who Have Visited the Tennessee Valley by David Carroll. He's the one that just put out the I Won't Be Your Scapegoat book, and he's our guest on next week's podcast, I think. Isn't he, Bean?
Yep.
Okay.
Sure.
And then above that, Fresh Ink Group Short Story Showcase number one. That's notable.
Whoa.
That's our anthology of 60 or so short stories by a whole variety of different authors. Right now we are soliciting submissions of short stories, short fiction. We're also looking for short mini memoirs, little experience essays and stuff to put out the next two editions of the Fresh Ink Group Short Story Showcases. So contest at freshinkgroup.com if you've got a short story, people. Above that, Figuratively Speaking, Thesaurus of Expressions and Phrases by J. Ash Looney. That book is selling really well in India. The Chair, Volume 2, Faith, Hope, and Love. There are three Chair volumes out now, and what ultimately will be five in the whole series. Three is the latest one, so we got two more to go. Number two is on this list. My Three Wishes, Memoir of a Hawaiian Dancer Whose Family Troupe Traveled the World by Kanoi K. Hardcover edition. That's next up on our list. We've got a couple of Larry Landgraf, the Into books, Into Spring, The Next Generation, and Into Winter, The Armed Invasion. Between them, we've got Larry Jorgensen's Shipwrecked and Rescued, The City of Anger, about the cars that went in the 1920s that were heading to Canada and never made it there. That Into series by Larry Landgraf has four volumes to it, one name for each season. That's a post-dystopian kind of a future sci-fi. How do we all live now that the world has basically come to an end? There Must Be Something in the Water, Anthology of the Fourth Generation, Descendants of Green Pond After the Emancipation by Abigail Hugh Guinea. Above that, Robert G. Willis Croft. We got a couple in a row here. Icicle, A Tensor Matrix, The First Orc Chronicle, and then above that, The Orc Federation, To the Stars, The Second Orc Chronicle, both by Robert G. Willis Croft. The third book in that series, Ran, is slated to be coming out as soon as he finishes do all the detail work on it. Another Larry Landgraf, Into Summer, Dawn of a New Age. And then another Robert G. Willis Croft, Operation Ivy Bells, a Mac McDowell mission. That's the first of four Cold War submarine thriller books, Mac McDowell mission series by Robert Willis Croft. Above that, The Chair, Volume 1. So we've covered one and two so far. I got a feeling we're going to see three before we get to the top of this list. And then paperback edition of Mark Herndon's The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip. Mark played drums for the super country group Alabama for almost three decades. And then things kind of fell apart, and he tells the story, fills in all the details, and does it in a way with a bit of class. So he takes the high road. Above that, Janice D. Toney's Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament, hardcover edition. That's an illustrated chapter book about bullying for children. Above that, Dr. Helen Burrell, American Agony, The Opioid War Against Patients in Pain. This is a look at the politics behind the opioid epidemic and enforcement and the trend that developed for a little while there anyway toward trying to charge doctors for overprescribing. Now, we've got a novel next, the hardcover edition, and if you think novels in hardcover don't sell, The Calling Dream by Carlisle Toms, and this thing is north of 600 pages. It is not an inexpensive book. And yet, the hardcover edition of this novel is in our top one, two, three, six, our top six right now. Above that, Larry Jorgensen's Shipwrecked and Rescued, The City of Bangor, about those cars that never made it to Canada. That's the paperback edition. And then above that, the hardcover edition of Mark Herndon's The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip. That's a cool book. That really is a cool book. You got to check that out. Now, with our top three, we've got a gold, a silver, and a bronze. And the bronze goes to Sassy Discovers the AME Church by B.A. Johnson, the paperback edition. That's the first of two books, illustrated chapter books for children about the AME Church. The second one is Sassy Uncovers Peter Allen's Secret. Now, number two, Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks and Keeping the Fleet Afloat by retired Naval Lieutenant Commander Jerry Pate. Paperback edition. That's 60 chapters of memoir about life above and below the sea in his naval days. And it's got some cool stories in it. So that gets us to one number one. What's our number one gold star this week? Third week in a row, The Calling Dream by Carlisle Toms. And the number on that one is about double the number two number. So he's out there. He's out there really, really hustling it and racking up some sales, which is pretty good for a novel. Congratulations, everybody.
Yeah, congratulations. All right, hey, if you've missed an episode of this show, you got a favorite episode you want to hear again, or you're just tuning in for the first time and you want to hear what we're all about, we've got an archive. Every episode from the past 3 years sits in this archive, and here's how you can find the archive.
Find your favorite show in the Voice of Indy archive on YouTube at Fresh Ink Group, StephenGees.com. BeamWeeks.com, FreshInkGroup.com, and on Spotify. And now, you can listen on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. Just search The Voice of Indy, all one word.
All right, let's get to today's guest. All right, Kim Becella is a YA author, staff reviewer at YA Books Central, activist, and educator. Her books include the paranormal duology series, Crossed Out, and the Myths and Mayhem series. I like Myths and Mayhems. She's currently working on a historical set in 1944 Tuscany and a YA dystopian novel. In her spare time, Kim enjoys teaching 8-year-olds in her church Sunday school. She also enjoys reading, walking, and practicing yoga. She lives in Southern California with her husband, son, and pet cockatiel, Damon. And with that, welcome to the show, Kim Becella.
Hi.
Hi, Kim. Hey.
Hi.
Do you think we could get Damon to call in?
I wouldn't get a word in edgewise if I did that.
So where are you from, Kim? And where have you lived and where are you now?
I'm from Sacramento. Grew up there, and I lived in Provo, Utah for 5 years while I was attending Brigham Young University. I graduated, and then we moved down to Southern California. We live in South Orange County right now. And I was a teacher when I was when I first came down here in South Whittier School District. I was a first grade bilingual teacher, and then I also was a sheltered English teacher in Tuscan Unified School District for first grade also.
All right. So what kind of a kid were you? Were you into reading and writing from an early age, or is this something you got interested in later after you, you know, went through your phase of burning down buildings and, you know, throwing rocks at cars and stuff?
Okay, I've been writing since forever. My dad once told me it's in my blood. It's in your blood. I'm a distant relative to the man who wrote Tarzan.
Oh,
and
really?
And all, yes, and also, I've been writing since forever. I'm one of the my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Clements. She had us do this one assignment that we were supposed to be like a journalist, and I remember that I did it on Nixon when he first went to China. Remember, China was closed at the time, I was this big reporter that was interviewing Nixon and everything, and. And I really loved writing. I did short stories, and my teacher wrote, you know, you should keep this up. And then I was on the high school newspaper staff, and I also did a newsletter in my junior college. But I kind of put it aside because I had a bad experience. A creative writing teacher told me when I was 18 that I had to experience life more. And so I thought, okay.
Wow.
It wasn't until I was a teacher, my favorite part of the day, and I hope the kids was also, was writer's workshop. And that what I would do is the kids went through the whole writing process with my first graders. And so we did pre-writing, we did the Venn diagrams. They had their own little buckets that they would have pictures and stuff to help motivate them to write. And then I would have the book bound up and laminate the covers. And they would put it in our library, and then they would also go to different kids in different classrooms. We had a third grade class that we paired up with, and they would read the books and have them signed off, and they thought that was the bee's knees. They loved it. And we also did a pen pal class that was a big hit. And I was mentioned in the Whittier newspaper, too, at one time for what I did.
Wow,
did
you have experiences like that when you were a kid, going to other classes or having people laminate your covers or do anything to encourage you? Or
my fifth grade teacher, but they didn't do books back then, if I remember right. That was like in the latter 70s. But I thought one time when I was in Tustin, we were doing these big books. Big books were the thing in the 90s. And we had the smelly pins and everything, and my kids loved that. And I even had a rhyming book to help me with rhyming because it's not as easy as people think it is. And I just looked at my kids, and I thought, why can't I do this? And so I just kind of played around with it, and I took a class at UCI Extension where I met my writing mentor, Lou Nelson. They no longer do that. This was like in 2000, and she was very encouraging and helped me with two of my books. So that's how I kind of got back into it.
That makes all the difference with children when you encourage them like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Because it sounds to me like you were one of the cool teachers, you know, doing stuff like that. Because I remember when I was in fourth and fifth grade, I had the same teacher. We had him for fourth grade, and then he took over the fifth grade class the following year. So it was pretty much the same group of kids that came through there. And this guy was so encouraging. I remember a friend and I co-wrote this play, and it was just for fun. And he read it, and he said, hey, let's perform this for the school. So he became like the casting director. He cast the whole play, and we went up there and did it in front of the whole school, and that was a blast. Those are the cool teachers right there.
Well, I hope I was a cool teacher.
Well, it sounds like you were. That's why I'm bringing this up.
Sounds like you were, yeah.
Well, the thing is, when I was in South Whittier School District, I worked with kids that were, how would I say this? They were, English was their second language. So I taught everything in their native language. And so we did most of our books in Spanish. So we had that. I did that when I went to Tustin in 96, 97. It was the year that Princess died. I remember that. That's the year we went over. I did more English. But I tried to be encouraging. I know that our class field trips were to libraries, you know, how to get a library card. And I tried to build up my library because I was always big in that. I did that with my son, too. My son has sensory issues, and it was really hard when he was going to the school next to our where we live, which is a more affluent area. And I found out with AP, Accelerated Readers Program, that they didn't really have many books that my son liked. They were mostly those Magic Treehouse books, and he hated those. And he loved graphic novels and hybrid novels. And it wasn't until I took him out that I let him read. Because I went to a charter school, homeschool. I did that for another 7 years with my son. And I was able to let him. I remember when I let him choose whatever, as long as it fell under the California curriculum, he's like, I can read this? And I'm like, yes.
Cool.
And also I have to give a big shout out to the ALA that they had in Anaheim back in 2008. Those vendors, the ones that worked with children's books, they got a bag and they put all these graphic novels and nonfiction books for my son. And he was like the star of our street when he came home. He's like, where are my books, Mom? And I came home and all the neighborhood kids came and they wanted to see all the books. And that was just really cool.
Oh, definitely. Yes. So, listeners, we're talking to author Kim Bacellia, and we're taking phone calls.
Bacella.
Thank you.
Bacella. Okay.
Noah says it right.
All right. So call in at 516-453-9902, and you can make a comment or ask a question to Kim Bacella.
Yeah.
All right. Why don't we roll a couple of commercials, Beam?
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest. Let's throw a couple of commercials in here. All right. So we will be back in just a moment.
In the days leading up to her departure on the yacht, the Dieng, Catherine Howell had a sixth sense revelation that the U.S. government would attempt to take her out before she could return to the United States. Thus begins a web of intrigue involving the CIA, the military, the alleged stillborn birth of her infant son, and the loss of her husband in Vietnam. But is he truly dead? Catherine's sixth sense tells her the man is still alive, and they very nearly cross paths. Catherine's story should be told with caution, as one never knows which government agency is listening to your phone calls, reading your mail, or following you wherever you go. How did Catherine end up living on a yacht with a CIA agent? Will she ever discover the truth? Grab your copy of The Dieng, Book 1 of the Dieng Trilogy by M.C. Howell, in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats worldwide. The Dieng by M.C. Howell.
Hi, I'm Mary Margaret Fanson. My grandmother, Big Mama, calls me Sassy. I've been a member of the African Methodist Episcopal Church all my life. I never knew why everyone was so proud to be AME. Then I met Gerald in Children's Church. He thinks he knows everything about being AME. I have to learn a lot more just to show him. B.A. Johnson has been writing a series of books about me, my brother, and my friends, with lots of colorful drawings. We also explore bullying, friendship, inclusion, death, grief, forgiveness, and more. Sassy Discovers the AME Church is about me learning about our church and something terrible that happened in Charleston. The second book, Sassy Uncovers Peter Allen's Secret, is about discovering the story of our church's founder's family and one hero in particular. These and more sassy books are published by Fresh Ink Group in laminated hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats available worldwide. Come on, join me and discover why I can say I'm proud to be AME.
All right. Those books are currently available. Get out there and grab a copy or two or five. We're talking with Kim Bacella. And Kim, okay, now you've talked a little bit about your career as a teacher. You're retired now?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Now, how long did you teach for?
The last time I was in the classroom was 2016. The charter school. Last time I was at a public school as a first grade teacher was 2004.
Okay. Well, that kind of leads to, now that you got some free time and whatnot, hobbies and interests. What do you like to do, and how do you spend your time when you're not writing books?
Well, you mentioned that I was a staff reviewer at YA Book Central. I read a lot. I was also a judge for the CIBL, which is a children and young adult awards, and you go to that site. I think they're looking for judges for this coming year, and it's totally worth it. You get to meet so many cool people. I met a lot of librarians, other authors, and other people in the publishing world. And I was on different committees, and I did that for like 11 years. I went over the best YA, the best middle grade, the best graphic novel, best nonfiction, graphic novel, and it was a really good experience for me. And I also have done other things that I've read Flesh for an agency and also for a small press publisher. So I do a lot of reading. And right now, since my more current project is not YA, it's more women's fiction, I've been reading a lot more of stuff that's not YA. And it's been really interesting. I just finished one book, and it was called Vampires in El Norte. And it was really, really good. Set in 1846. So I do a lot of reading. And if you ask what I do with all the books, I end up donating them to places like the library, Friends of the Library, and also I've donated to women's shelters, prisons, and other places where they need books.
Cool.
So I do that. I also practice yoga. I love to do yoga. And I like to do, I walk. I still have to use my cane after my injury, but I'm getting better. So I do a lot of that. And I like to go to the movies. I love rom-coms, especially Hallmark Christmas ones. Those are my favorite.
Wow. So let's talk about your memberships. You're no longer a member of Romance Writers. What's going on there?
We ended up, it's called now, the one that's out here is called Orange County Romance Writers, or OCRW. And they have one meeting once a month. Usually it's on Zoom. And they're also, I was on the board for 2 years with that. We're just kind of branched out from RWA. And then I also was on the Children's Writers, which is SCBWI. So if someone is thinking about being a children's writer or YA author, I highly recommend joining that organization, because they have so many resources, like the Blue Board and other things. And they also have, like, national. I think they just have that. They just have that one. That's in L.A. And there's also different charters. And right now I belong to the Women's Romance Writers Association, where I met Nita Collins. And she was my mentor, and she went over my historical and gave me awesome advice. And they also have programs. I mean, they also have things that you can do, like they have like a critique groups that you can go, you know, join, and then also like the mentor or mentee program, and there's workshops, and so that's really good too.
All right. Now, just a little while ago, when you were answering the questions I had prior to this, you had mentioned walking on your cane, that you'd had an injury. What was this all about?
Oh, my God. Okay, you know that commercial they always have of the old lady falling down the stairs and it says, I can't get up? And I
yeah.
feel really bad now. When I was a kid, me and my cousins used to laugh at that. And I'm not doing that no more. I fell down some stairs, and I miscalculated, and I twisted to not hit the vacuum cleaner. And next thing I know, my son freaked out and called the ambulance, and I broke three bones and dislocated my ankle. And they had to – they wouldn't let my husband touch me because they wanted to stabilize my leg. But, you know, I'm so – this is the writer in me. I kept – because it was so weird. Have you seen
Kim, can you speak up? Speak directly into your phone. We got a couple of people that are on Twitter saying that they can't hardly hear you. We want everybody to hear you.
Okay. You know that if you watch Stranger Things, when that one girl went up in the air and her whole body, her bones twisted, bump, bump, bump.
Uh huh.
That's what my ankle looked like. And so when that
wow.
happened. The writer in me, I kept looking at it, and the ambulance guy said, stop doing that. And I'm like, no, it's gross, but it's fascinating. And then I was so disappointed when they took me in the ambulance because it didn't look anything like it does in Hollywood.
No.
but you're talking to somebody when I was a teacher that we went to we went to a prison in Tustin. And I remember Paris Hilton was in solitary confinement. Remember that?
Yeah.
I asked them, I go, this would be perfect if I have to write a scene with somebody in solitary confinement. Can you put me in there and see what it's like? And the mom helper goes, oh, God, Mrs. Rapier, here we go again. So they watched the kids, and I couldn't even last 5 minutes in there. I don't know how she did it. So I just always try to pick up things like that. But so yeah, I fell down, and I also found out you don't have an accident or get sick 2 days before Christmas because all the doctors are on vacation. And so yeah, I ended up having two surgeries, and I'm still in physical therapy. I just went yesterday to another place, and they told me I need to work on strengthening my ankle now. So I've come a long way, so I'm getting there.
Strengthening is one of the later stages, so that's a good sign, definitely.
Yeah. So,
go ahead.
I was going to say we've got a caller on hold that we can go to, but what were you going to say, Stephen?
I was just going to say that I'm trying to picture that whole scene, and I've got her like being racing to the hospital in the ambulance, and they're trying to work on her, and she's trying to get them to sign photo release forms, sign the photo release forms so she can put the pictures in the book, you know.
Well, that's an idea. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, don't forget the photo release forms, Kim.
Yeah. All right.
So we got a call, huh?
We are going to go to the phone lines and take this call. Dr. Helen Burrell, how are you doing, Dr. Helen?
Okay, I'm listening.
All right. You want to ask
you know
questions?
Something, guys? I didn't want to say this before, but the ads that come on, you can hear more clearly than your phone voices. So I don't know if you're getting through as well as you would like to.
Hmm.
I'm missing almost every other word.
Hmm.
Okay.
All right.
So,
Well, we've got Kim speaking
but
up.
But anyway, what I like to know from a writer, as you know, is what is the writer's process?
All right. You know, you ever hear the thing about write every day? I don't do that.
Good for
what
you.
What I do in my day is I put a schedule down of what time I write every day, and then I mark it off. And then also, it's really big for me to sit my butt in the chair and kind of forced myself to write something because it's easier to go back and take out crap than to have look at a blank page. So that's huge. And then also another thing I totally tell people to do, read. Read, 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 and read more. Because you can see, and then kind of see what books you keep gravitating towards and see what their voice is and see what they're doing right. And then also, if you get in a block, I've binged on Netflix or other movies just to kind of get back in the mood. But the big thing is, for me, is to set a schedule, mark it off, and then to continually read.
Do you outline it all, or you just get in there and just start flying?
That, I do both, because I do outline. I follow, like, the, how would you say it? It is a story. It's like a screenwriter's model, the three acts. And so I do the three acts model, which could be also Save the Cat. The book Save the Cat is a good one, too, to use. And also Jessica Bodie, B-R-O-D-Y, has something online that you can join that goes over this in better detail, which I'd highly recommend. But even saying that, I'll be writing, and it's not set in stone. Like, one of the characters will say no, or somebody, you know, something else will come up, and I'll just go back and rewrite it in. But, yeah, I'm not a panzer. They call them panzers, the ones that just write whatever. That's not me. I have, maybe it's a teacher in me, because I'm very structured.
Okay. Yeah, the panzer phrase is from seat of the pants. People who write from the seat of their pants without being organized in advance.
They just throw it against the wall and see if it sticks.
So, Beam, what do you see on Twitter?
All right. Well, thanks for calling, Dr. Helen.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank
you. Good luck to the writer. Good luck. And, oh, by the way, isn't that an Italian name? Your name?
Yes, but you know.
So shouldn't it be pronounced?
That's what I thought.
No. The thing is, my grandpa put the A at the end. You know what it is, really?
There's an I-A, no?
Nope, it's B-A-C-C-E-L-L-I.
Bocelli.
Oh, Bocelli.
That's how you say it in Italy. I have friends, I mean, I have family that live in Italy, in Lucca, a small town in Lucca, and they told me if I go there, you do not say Bocella. It's Bocelli.
All right, thanks for calling, Dr. Helen.
Good luck with the new novel that you're writing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, we're going to go over to Twitter. Over on Twitter, we got Verwayne Greenho, which is his birthday today. So, again, happy birthday, Verwayne. He said, whoa, we have a huge storm blowing here in the armpit of Florida. If I disappear, it's because we lost power. Monster lightning and thunder. So stay safe, Verwayne.
Yeah, he lives in the armpit of Florida there, where every time I'm watching the news of the Weather Channel and they say there's serious weather coming toward Florida, they show his house. I don't know why, but they always seem to show his house. He's right in the line.
We're getting something up here, too, from Baja. They're saying that we're supposed to have a really bad storm Sunday and Monday, and I'm like, what? This is Southern California? I'll guess it doesn't do that. This will be interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
So let's roll a couple of commercials, Beam.
All righty.
In 1945, 10-year-old Ronald Dennison, the son of a backwoods Arkansas preacher, began having profound dreams about religion and a strange red-haired woman. The dreams follow him for decades, with the woman sometimes seducing him, other times calling him to become a televangelist, but eventually berating him for his sins of lust. She holds a secret so dark that he dares never admit it, even to himself. The more famous and wealthier he becomes, the more he struggles with his adultery, his fetish, and his shame, until his torment can no longer be contained. Staggering revelations challenge everything he ever believed. Will truth bring him the peace he always craved? Or will the woman's demands prove more than he can bear? Read the novel, The Calling Dream by Carlisle Toms. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. The Calling Dream by Carlisle Toms.
What drives a man to spend 26 years performing night after night? To persevere through a stifling tour bus, bad food, strange women, flared tempers, a plane nearly blown from the sky? Just how did that troubled military brat with a dream claw his way from dirt floor dive bar shows to the world's biggest stages? Aviator, author, and Country Music Hall of Fame drummer Mark Herndon lived that dream playing with Alabama, one of the most popular and celebrated bands of all time. He learned some hard lessons about people and life, the music industry, the accolades and awards, how easy it is to lose it all, and how hard it is to survive, to embrace sobriety, to live even one more day. Herndon's poignant memoir offers a tale at once cautionary and inspirational, delightful and heartbreaking, funny yet deeply personal. From innocence to rebellion to acceptance, can a man still flourish when the spotlight dims? Are true forgiveness, redemption, and serenity even possible when the powerful say everything you achieved somehow doesn't even count? That you're not who you and everyone who matters thought you were? Find all this and more in Mark's remarkable memoir, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group in paperback and ebooks, and now in the keepsake dust-jacketed hardcover edition demanded by true fans. Mark Herndon refuses to slow down. So look back, look ahead, and join him on the trip. He's taking the high road.
And speaking of the band Alabama, I was just watching this video on YouTube the other day. It's one of these abandoned houses videos. People go on and explore these abandoned houses. And this one house was loaded with a lot of stuff. And inside of it, they had this big, huge framed poster of the band Alabama. It was for some kind of festival, and they had the wine glasses, and they were toasting the people. But there was Mark Herndon in that poster.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I was in Fort Payne last week, and I drove past that Alabama Museum that we've been to before, Beam. And
yeah,
they've got a big sign out front saying that it's been revamped, you know. Come check it out now, see what we've got. So I'm curious to see if they manage to eradicate Herndon even more.
Well, I would hope they wouldn't, but, you know.
I would hope not, but they seem to have that kind of attitude, and that's unfortunate. But if you're curious what we're talking about, people, The High Road by Mark Herndon. He tells you the whole story, warts and all. Yeah. So our guest today is Kim Bosella. And she's an author. She does adult novels. She does young adults. And she's been talking to us about all kinds of cool stuff, including being a retired teacher. So, Kim, when you're working on books, who else do you work with? Do you have any editors, beta readers, friends that you share things with, feedback that you get from people? Who all is involved in your process?
It depends on what book it is. Right now, I have a publisher, and we're going back and forth on the edit. And the other one, the women's fiction one, so far nobody, except I had a critique group. And I also have some other resources I've been using to help me with the voice, because voice is really big with your novel. And also because it's not YA, so I don't have that young voice, even though my protagonist is 21. So that's what I do. I strongly feel critique groups are very important, especially if you're starting out, and not to just let your family look at it, because I know, like, my mom would say, oh, I love your work. She's going to say that anyway, because she's my mom.
Hmm.
So, yeah, you need to get it out to other people, and you have to realize also when you do have a critique group, that you don't take things personally, And also realize that if you don't, it's your work. If you don't want to put that in your story, you need to say thank you and just move on. You don't have to put it in.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a big one for me. That was a big one for me, not to take it too personally. And you kind of have to have a thick skin. Also.
Yeah.
And that's also why when you get the reviews that come out, some reviews can be pretty brutal. And just realize it's all subjective. And that's just that person, you know, their take from it.
Yeah.
Never engage with them if it's negative.
Yeah, reviews are just their opinions. They're people's opinions, and they're entitled to them. So let's jump into your books. Tell us a little something about Crossed Out.
Okay, Crossed Out is about a 16-year-old named Stephanie who has a paranormal ability to see the other side. And she helps cross over murder girls to their version of heaven by decorating talismans. And what really bugged me is that they only show the Christian version of heaven. And my brother-in-law is Muslim, and so he helped me with the Muslim crossing and to make sure it was right, because I did something that the talisman that Stephanie used was something I found when I Googled it online, and he said it was offensive to him as a Muslim, and so he helped me. So that's why just Googling stuff does not mean it's always right. You have to have other sources, and so that was a real eye-opener for me. So Stephanie does that, and then she continues that in Crossfire, where it's more she finds out that there's a reason she has this ability, and it has to do with her mother and the sorority sisters in Sacramento. And my next series, you want me to talk about another one?
Well, let's learn a little bit more about Stephanie.
Okay.
So she's in two books so far. Crossfire is your newest book, right?
Yes, that was my newest one. And my publisher ended up going into being more of a boutique, and so book three never materialized. I was working. I outlined book three that I was going to do. It was going to be more a companion book with one of the other characters. But if I do that, I will self-publish it.
Well, yeah, I think you should. I mean, if you took the time to outline it and then it fits in with the first two, don't be bound by a publisher.
Yeah, and you can also find other publishers or hybrid publishers or whatever it is that would be best for you. But yeah, get out there and talk around and see what other people are doing, and you'll find some good options. But if you've got a third Stephanie book in you, I'm sure your fans would like to hear about it. I mean, is Stephanie based on somebody that you've known, or she's entirely fictional, or what?
She's fictional. The story of Crossed Out came to me. You know, they used to have the crosses on the freeways of people who died or killed or whatever.
Oh, they're all over down here.
And my husband, when we were at one conference, it was the Maui conference, and they don't do that one anymore, he said, what if, you know, I always start my stories with what if it was someone's job to make those? And so I kind of went from there with that storyline. And also it was kind of very loosely based on a personal experience I had with my sister who was murdered by gun violence. So yeah, I put my sister Colette in there to remember her. She was died too soon, but yeah.
So tell us about your sister.
Colette.
Yeah. Let's remember her.
Okay, so Colette was like the number four in my family. I come from a large family. There's seven of us, and I have an older half-brother and half-sister, so there's nine technically. And Colette was dating this one guy, and he was abusive, and she wanted out, and she went with my dad to get a restraining order, and they even told her these don't work. And within 24 hours, she was dead. He waited for her, and he shot her point blank numerous times. And that's why I have, that's the activism in me. Activist comes into me.
Well, what was she like as a person? Because obviously she's more than just a victim. What was she like
exactly.
as a person?
Yeah,
what was her favorite things to do? And what made her laugh?
Okay, Colette liked the song Little Corvette. She liked Prince. She loved singing. I cannot every time that the one with the gold, what is the name of that song? The gold one he talks about, he sings. I can't handle listening to that because it's just too triggering for me.
And it's a Prince song?
From Sting, yes.
Oh, from Sting.
It was really popular in the 90s. Sting. It was, can you hear me? Sting.
Yeah.
Fields of Gold.
Fields of Gold. I can't hear
1993.
Yeah, she died in 1993.
Wow.
She loved her son. She loved her son, Josh, who has two kids now. That blows me away. He was 9 when she was murdered. She just loved life. She loved roller skating. She loved chocolate. Who doesn't? Well, I take that back from my kids. And Church told me, he goes, Mr. Rapier, I do not like chocolate. I'm like, okay, I wish I had that problem. it was really hard. It was really, really hard for all of us.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, we're glad you had a chance to tell us about her.
Yeah. And so, definitely sorry for your loss. I mean, that's a horrible thing to have happen.
Okay, so we're going to talk about your other books in a minute here. We need to roll a couple of more commercials, and we do want to invite callers, 516-453-9902. Call in, and you can make a comment, ask a question, or tell us what you're going to buy for dinner. I don't know, but we'll be here.
All right.
Hey, young adults, I'm author Ellie Collins. Check out my first 3 novels from my mythology series where Greek goddesses help us teens resolve problems from bullying to relationships. Now in print, digital, or audiobooks with music and sound effects. Book 1 is Daisy Bold and Beautiful.
After a moment or two of silence, laughter filled the room, and students quickly began comparing notes on who had read the directions and who had fallen for the trick. DJ shared a smile with Hudson, as they both belong to the Figured It Out group.
Book 2 is Miley's.
Sam shot a cocky grin in Miley's direction. She didn't want him getting the idea she was fangirling on him or anything, and run the risk of future game invitations, so she attempted to immediately dispel any potential misunderstandings.
Mad Max and Sweet Sarah is the new third book.
Now Max was either being shipped off on a plane tonight, or getting pummeled after work tomorrow. Assuming Maxie was still in Washington tomorrow, she could warn him about the ambush, but that would probably just lead to more violence. She'd have to find another way to prevent the showdown.
Go to freshinkgroup.com or your favorite retailer to learn more and order now.
And that third audiobook is now out, narrated by movie star Ethan Drew.
Ethan Drew, yeah.
Oh, wow.
All right. So we do have over here on Twitter, Kim Cox says, she says, I've forgotten how to do this on Twitter, LOL. I just wanted to say hello to Kim. So Kim Cox is saying hello to Kim Basella.
All right.
Hi.
Yeah, now Cox has a very cool blog called Kim Writer, and Kim Basella was interviewed on that just a couple weeks ago. So people get over there and check out Kim Writer, Kim Cox's blog.
Yeah, and while you're over there, you'll find Mr. G's and myself over there as well. So.
Yeah. Now, Kim, we're going to ask you to over-speak, you know, like you're on a stage and you're trying to get the balcony to hear you, because we're still hearing from people that they're having trouble hearing you. So don't be bashful. Go ahead and speak up.
Okay. Is that better?
Yeah. Great. Now, tell us about your goddess books. You've got 2 of them so far, No More Goddesses and Goddesses Can Wait.
Yes, that one I It was basically think of making lemons into lemonade story. I plotted the whole story when I was on a walk because I was so bummed about the rejections I was getting for Crossed Out, and I wanted to do something different. And so I thought about this young girl that was totally into fashion and 50, 60 movies, and goddesses came to my mind. And then Audrey Hepburn. And my mom said, why Audrey Hepburn? Why not Marilyn Monroe? And I'm glad I stayed with Audrey. So I did all this research on Audrey. Totally fell in love with this woman. Totally fell in love with this woman. Well, anyway, so my character, Jordan, loves Audrey Hepburn. I mean, that's her icon. To her, it's what would Audrey do? That's everything she gets in situations. What would Audrey do? That's what she would say. And anyway, so her favorite movie, she finds out there is a, has with a bracelet. She's at her grandmother's house, and she comes across this box and finds the same bracelet that was in her favorite movie. She's like, what is going on here? And she puts it on, and she unleashes a goddess, Egyptian goddess, Hathor, who is kind of ticked off at her grandmother, because her grandmother is totally forgotten about all this, because she has a spell of forgiveness. So she has to battle to get the bracelet off, and to so she battles with Hathor, and Bastet also shows up. And in book two, she ends up going to Paris, where she does like a Freaky Friday thing with Aphrodite, who takes over her body, and she's stuck in the Greek world with Ares and has to go through all the trials and stuff in order, she has to be back to the Eiffel Tower at a certain time in order to switch their bodies back.
That sounds like an interesting story.
So there's two books in this series right now. What are your plans for the series?
Okay, the third book, there's one more book, and I'm halfway done with that. And they end up going to Rome, and they encounter the Roman goddess. They have more adventures set in store for Jordan. And Selena, her best friend, her BFF.
Oh, that's cool. Now, we've talked about your novels. You've also got a short story in an anthology, and you're also working on some more stories?
Yes, correct. The anthology was a holiday one that was by people who work on YA Book Central. And if you want to check out the website on that, it's yabookcentral.com, which has upcoming YA books, middle grade books with reviews. And there's always giveaways, and you can also post your own reviews there. So it's really a great site to go to, and has a lot to hit. And they're on Instagram, and I think also Facebook now. So anyway, it's called Mistletoe and Magic, and I have a short story in there that kind of goes off on my goddess series. So you learn a little bit more. But there's also a bunch of other great stories in there. Perfect for the holidays. And also, I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
Also, if you go to my website, which is www.kim-bacellia.com, you can download a free PDF file of Earrings of Ichimea, which was my first book that I wrote back in 2007. It's out of print. And that one's basically about a young girl that gets thrown back to Mesoamerica world and to end up learning more about her Mexican culture. So there's that one. And the ones I'm working on right now, the one Candle in the Wind, which is a dystopia set not too far in the future. It's kind of more like a dystopia cult type of novel with a Latina protagonist, Esperanza Espy, I call her. And my other book is Letters from Luca, which has dual point of view. I go from Sammy to Rosa, her grandmother, when her grandma was her age. And in 1943-1944, Tuscany, when the Nazis were occupying the area.
Well, you're certainly busy, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I also have an idea for a suffragette because I found out one of my relatives was a suffragette in Utah, Lucy Clark, and there's a monument for her in Farmington, Utah. She hosted Susan B. Anthony when they had a women's suffragist movement in the latter 1800s, and she ran unsuccessfully, but she ran for Utah Senate in 1896.
That's
and so
cool.
I think that is such a cool story.
Yeah.
And that way I will delve into my Mormon heritage also. So that was kind of a...
My next novel that I'm near complete on is based around a suffragette movement in 1910 with this teenage girl who doesn't really care about any of that, and she ends up getting pulled into it. So, did a lot of research on it.
I have an organization in Utah because one of my great-great-grandfathers founded Farmington, Utah, and there's a monument there for him and for Lucy. So there's an organization that told me they would help me with more, so they're kind of helping me. So I'm not sure what time period yet I would do. I'd probably do the early 1900s. So that one, I have the dolls and stuff. I always do that. I get Barbie dolls and stuff, and I decorate them into what I think my story's going to be about. So that one's on the back burner. And I've always wanted to write a 1700s romance set in France. So there's that, too.
Wow. Now, Beam, you always dress your Barbie dolls up as characters, right?
Well, yeah, it's instead of storyboarding, we Barbie board the story.
Yeah, Barbie board.
the suffragette movement, that was just something that the story wasn't originally going to be about that, but the more I started outlining it, it had those elements, I thought, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do that then. But now that you're established, Kim, and you've got several books out there, what's the fan reaction been like? Do you do book signings or just rely on the reviews? What are you hearing?
Well, like I said before, since 2019, it's been kind of hard. I'm getting back into it. Beforehand, I did Skype school visits, and I had to write down the name of the high school. It was Immaculate Heart High School, Middle School in Los Angeles, that they chose Crossed Out to be their book of the month, not once, but twice. And the girls,
ooh,
if you go to my website, you will see what the girls sent to me. It's really cool. It was like crosses with decorated. And that was a really interesting visit because the girls had some very fascinating questions to ask about, you know, the afterlife, spirits, the paranormal. I guess it kind of surprised me all since it's, you know, the school. And the librarian tech told me they got those questions all the time. And I've done book signings. I've done signings at libraries. I do better if I'm in a group, I found out. By myself, it's hard. But I've talked to other more established authors than me, and they say the same thing with them, so it's not just me. So I'm hoping to get back into it, especially if I'm hoping Candle in the Wind kind of gets picked up by next year. So, yes, I'll definitely get right back into it. And I'm going to have to research again, you know, because I like the virtual book blog tours because it's a myth about authors going on tours, only the, 1%, 2%, very lucky ones who do really well that. And so I've done really well with virtual book tours because they have bloggers that go out and they, you know, they read and review your book. And so those are really good. So I'll get back into that.
Well, that's definitely a really excellent, poignant example of fan reaction. I think you're the first guest we've ever had who talked about getting gifts from readers. Now, I thought I was the only one. I mean, I get gifts from all of my readers, both of them.
They all usually do that with children's writers. It was more they made their own. It was like an activity afterwards. They made their own paper crosses decorated. It was really cool. I have it in my writing room around a framed poster of my cover. I do that too. And I just thought it was really cool. So I wrote a thank you note. You always do that. I was taught you always say thank you. And so, yeah.
Okay, so our guest has been Kim Bosella, author and a retired teacher and all-around cool person that we've decided. How do people find you, Kim? Can they follow you, contact you, get you on social media? Where's that website where we can see what the girls made?
Yes, my website is www.kim, it's like a dash, Bacella, BACCELLIA.com is my website. And that has all my books. It has some of my reviews up. It has some book trailers that my awesome, talented nephew, Bassam Ibram, made for me. It also has some mock book covers. I do that, too, to get into the mood of it, whatever project I write. And so he's done that for me also. So he's totally awesome. He's only 16, so he's doing a great job. I'm also on Instagram at Bacella. I'm on Threads at Bacella. And I'm at Facebook at Kim Bacella.
All right. That's Kim Bacella. Everybody get out there and check out her website, check out her books. And as always, when we have a guest on this show, if you're trying to track that person down and can't find a better way, we've got a contact form over at freshinkgroup.com. Just send us a note and we'll make sure we pass it along. Kim, it's been great having you on this week. What do you think, Beam? Did you have fun?
I had a blast having you on and introducing you to our listeners.
Yeah, definitely.
Can I do a shout out to one person? I forgot.
Please
do.
Sure.
It's Melissa. She's an indie bookstore owner in Baltimore, and she has a cool cat, bookstore cat, and he does not love bookstore cats. And Stan Lee is her bookstore cat, and she runs, it's C-A-R-P-E, is that Carpe?
Yep.
L-I-B-R-U-M, Librum Bookstore, and Melissa, she is awesome. She has my books at that store, so you can purchase them for her. And she also wraps them up, and she gives people these handwritten notes. I mean, that's like a dying breed right now, handwritten thank you notes. So Melissa's awesome.
Oh, shout out to Melissa. They're in Baltimore. Cool. All right. Thanks, Kim. And we want to urge everybody, keep coming back, checking things out. Go listen to the shows in that archive, and we'd like to see you back here live next week when our guest is going to be NBC newscaster out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, David Carroll. And what's
all
after
right.
that, Beam?
After that, V.S. Kamenis. We don't know much about her, but we're going to find out just as you find out. And after that...
Yeah, then we've got Barney Smith, who has founded his own comics publishing company. He also creates comics. So we're going to learn a lot more about the comic industry when we have Barney Smith on.
And then we've got C.J. Peterson making a return visit following that.
Yeah, and C.J.'s the podcast. She's not only an author, but she's the podcast host of Book World, and her co-host, Michael Scott Clifton, is going to be our guest the week after C.J.
So now, the following 2 weeks after Michael Scott Clifton, we're going to have a couple of reruns because Stephen and I both are going to be away doing things. So the two reruns, one of them is going to be Caleb Pirtle III. We lost Caleb here not too long ago, a week or so ago, a couple weeks ago, I think. And we're going to do an honor for him and replay his episode. Caleb was a great guy, and everybody, just the outpouring of love that people are fondly remembering him. So we're going to do that. And then after that, we're going to have a repeat of Carlisle Tom's last visit on the show, which was a fun interview. So tune in for those. those 2 weeks. They're reruns, but, you know, we're still on the air those nights. And after that,
we're going to have a couple of tippins, father and son, Ron and Zach. And Zach just graduated from high school. He's a college kind of kid now. They compose and produce great music as the band Wide Track. We've had them on a couple of times before. They've got a new album, new material, new things to talk about, and we're looking forward to having them on again.
And speaking of the new album, go over to my blog, beamweeks.wordpress.com, beamweeks.wordpress.com, or go to beamweeks.com, my website. You'll find the blog up there. I reviewed their new album today, a stellar new album. It's got 8 fantastic tracks on it, and just had a good time listening to it and writing down my thoughts about it. So beamweeks.com or beamweeks.wordpress.com. And after the Wide Track show, we've got a couple more comic book guys, Dan Price and KCT Allen. I don't know a whole lot about them. I've been communicating with Dan. He was the original guest that was going to be on, and he said, hey, can I bring my writing partner? Because he's just as much a part of this. So we said, yeah, bring him in, and we'll talk to both of you. So Dan Price and KCT Allen will be on then. So, and we got some more lined up, too. We're pretty well booked going into the fall. So exciting times.
Yeah. So we're going to play a couple more commercials on the way out. Of Verwaine Greenhoe's I Hate My Mother, and then you'll hear about the short story showcase. And I want to remind you again, if you write short stories, send some of them to us, and we'll see if we can put them in a book.
Yeah.
So thanks again, Kim, and thanks everybody
thanks,
for
Kim.
Listening.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you next time.
All right.
He knew from an early age there was something wrong with his mother. By the time he could allow the abused little boy in him to let it go, it was just in time to forgive her. Now he's working to forgive himself. I Hate My Mother is an all-too-true story. At 69, author Verwaine Greenhoe is attempting to justify many things that happened in his life while he can. Many people out there could admit to the same issue. Maybe it was your father, mother, or you change the title as you need. Originally a popular Vela read, this memoir of survival, I Hate My Mother by Verwaine Greenhoe, is now available worldwide in print and ebook editions.
Hey writers, got a short story looking for a prestigious anthology that will showcase your work alongside other top authors? Or maybe you've experienced a moment worth sharing, perhaps with some poignant meaning we could all appreciate. Fresh Ink Group is accepting submissions for our second and third volumes of the Fresh Ink Group Short Story Showcase to be released in hardcover, softcover, and all major ebook formats worldwide. There are no fees to enter. Winners are not only published, but are invited to become members with their own dashboard in the FreshInkGroup.com website. Head over to FreshInkGroup.com's Contests tab to learn more. Then grease up the old Underwood and get those shorts down so you can get your entries in sooner than later. And you readers, discover 49 wondrous tales already released in the Fresh Ink Group Short Story Showcase No. 1, available now in all formats worldwide.
You've been a part of Voice of Indie, production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at FreshInkGroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.